Well, I'm going to take you on a little journey. So if you want to come on that journey, I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads and say, Father, give me eyes to see. Ears to hear.
Ears to hear.
What your Spirit is speaking.
What your Spirit is speaking.
To me.
To me.
Amen.
Amen.
On March 3rd, at 3:40 a.m., the Lord told me to take Holy Communion. You say, what are you talking about? Well, my aunt was not well, and he gave me Psalm 84 in the middle of the night. So I want you to hear what his word was. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. When I read that, I began to weep because my aunt's love for birds was known throughout the family. She felt they were her connection to the Lord. And of course, this word is very clear. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with your aunt? Well, she and I had communicated about her journey to the heavens. That was her pilgrimage. She wasn't going to some oratory. She was going to the heavens. She had set her heart on this transfer. Her strength was not in her own, because the doctors had said that that's what would be her clue that she was getting closer to transferring, was that her energy levels would literally come down to almost zero. And she had confessed to me the day before, or a couple of days before, that she would do the least little amount of things, and she would sit in her chair and pass out and wake up forgotten that it was past supper time or past dinner time or past lunch or whatever. She would just lose the time. Verse 6 pointed out the next level. As they passed through the valley of Becca, Becca is the valley of difficulties or hardship, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools or blessings. If you have footnotes, you'll see it covers you with blessings. They go from strength to strength till each appears before the God of Zion, in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God, the God of Jacob. That's the man of flesh. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So what are we doing? I am crying out to make sure that my aunt, the anointed one, is receiving the shield of protection. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in you. So obviously I broke bread that night, declaring these words 265 miles north. 2 days later, I'm in Canada. And I am downstairs in my cousin's house. And the Lord said, This is 3:5:14, 2 days later. I want you to go to Psalms 81. So I did. I don't have a time slot, so you'll have to bear with me. I did notice as I was writing down the 3:5:14 that above it in red was 7:12:10. That's July 12th, 2010. 7:45 p.m. The words are, Mom is with Jesus. And my heart began to weep because I knew the time was short. The words are, Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourines, play the melodious harps and lyres. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon. And when the moon is full on the day of our feast, this is a decree for Israel, an ordinance for the God of Jacob. He established it as a statute for Joseph when he went out against Egypt, where we heard a language we did not understand. He says, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress you called and I rescued you. I stress the fact, I, meaning God, rescues. I answered you out of the thundercloud and I tested you at the waters of Meribah, which was another place where the water was poisoned. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign gods among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. On the day of her funeral, that was my prayer as I sat in the pew because I kept praying for an open heaven. It was the last opportunity that I would have to release God's word and put the seed of life into those that were struggling with this death. And without their understanding, God would allow me to be able to pour in some much needed love. Verse 11, but my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. How many have got a few stubborn hearts that they know? Thank you. To follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Notice it's not you that's subduing the enemy. It is the Lord. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. The day of funeral, I shared a little bit about how when I got to visit with her the week before, I teased her because I told her I was there to spoil her. And the energy levels were so low on Friday that I fed her with a little plastic spoon like a little baby because she couldn't bring the food to her mouth. And I teased her and I told her she was, to me, my little bird. And we sang songs, and one of them I sang at the funeral, and to my surprise, about 30 of my relatives joined me in the song. And of course it choked me up because it's pretty hard to choke me up. My mouth is pretty good size, but I wept with them. Because God was using me to awaken them to the reception that God had given me after being rejected. There were two others that were adopted besides myself and that family.
not by my mom and dad, but my mom's sister. And I mentioned them by name so that they would know that not all of them had the blood and the name, but they had the love.
They had the love that was rooted in my grandparents.
And that love made all the difference in the world in my childhood. Because when I would go to my grandparents' house, there was always a reception. There were some welcoming knees, either my grandfather or my grandmother. And when I was small enough, they would pull me onto their knees and rock me in the kitchen and loved me to the degree that it gave me healing that I so badly needed. And some of the things that I'm sharing with you, I shared at the church. So obviously, there were quite a few tears, and I really didn't care, because I figured this would be the seed time that would needed to go forward. I had my backpack on, girl. And I believe the Lord used his Holy Spirit to deposit. When the Holy Spirit does something, he does it well.
Amen.
And when we got back home that night, my cousin's wife said, there was something going on in that church that I've never felt before. And her husband said, let's not go there because I've already tried to recover and I'm still recovering. You know, it has nothing to do with me, but it has a lot to do about the Spirit of the Father in us. See, when the Holy Spirit is released into a group of people, they change their nature. They go from natural to spiritual. They're born of His Spirit. We are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We aren't the old. We are of His kingdom. And so we relate differently. We respond differently. You say, well, I'm not where you are. I don't want you to be where I am. Good grief, there's enough of one of us. But you're supposed to be who you are, the way you are, where you are. Because each vessel is different. And before we departed to go visit the extra birds at the neighbors on Sunday, the Holy Spirit told me to anoint my cousin and his wife. And I did. Don't ask me what came out. My mouth wasn't mine, it was his. But all I can tell you is the weeping started all over again. This time it wasn't two, it was four. Irene and I both have a special love for these two. They had brought my aunt to visit my mother on her 90th birthday. So they've been to our house. My wife was ecstatic about one thing. They had a video of my aunt's life. And it started off with my grandparents. And one of the finishing photographs is my aunt holding my first great-granddaughter. She was 3 days old. So we told Tracy about the video. And, of course, she's all excited. Because when Tracy came out of the hospital, they did not go home. They came to our house. And in our house was my aunt, my mother, and my cousin and his wife. And there's the photograph that was on the video of my aunt holding Gabriella. So if you don't think our emotions were tossed around like a bunch of leaves in the wind, they were. But it was all God. Do I understand all the things that he's going to do with that? I do not understand it. I don't have to. All I can tell you is, obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's the bottom line. She's with the Lord, there's no doubt about it. The grace we had traveling back and forth in the middle of March, unheard of. The roads were perfect, up and back. They had forecast snow showers for to come home. Nothing. Perfect. God's grace was with us every step of the way. And this tribute to Marie-Jeanne is to acknowledge that God does things differently than we would expect. I have a cousin who's about maybe 7 or 8 years younger than I. She lives in Montreal. Her husband, I got to meet at my aunt's birthday. First time I've ever met him. She's been married for 45 years, and I've never met the two of them together. I sat with them at the table during the lunch, and their daughter was next to me, and we had a wonderful time. And he came over to me afterwards and said to me, he called it a sermon, "Your sermon really touched me." And I said, "Okay." He said, "I want you to know that when I went out with your cousin for the first time, I was 22 years old and I was looking for a wife. We went into her living room, met her family, which was my uncle, my mother's brother, the youngest one. And he said, I felt there what I could have never felt anywhere else. And 3 months later, I was engaged to your cousin. All because of the love flow that I felt in that house. I wasn't judged. I wasn't condemned. I was loved." He said, "That's why what you spoke, I could relate to. And we've been married for 40-something years."
Wow.
What does that tell you? If you don't know about your heritage, it's time to look into it. They did the best they could with what they had. Don't judge, don't condemn, don't find fault, find a solution. Amen?
Amen.
Don't look for something that you didn't get, because you got it now. Amen?
Amen.
Say, "I got it now."
I got it now.
It's time to give it away. It's not time to think about it for 3 months.
Not time to think about it for 3 months.
I have eyes.
I have eyes.
I have ears.
I have ears.
And now I have a mouth.
Now I have a mouth.
And I'm telling you, Lord.
And I'm telling you, Lord.
Fill it.
Fill it.
Amen?
Amen.
And use it.
Amen.
For your glory.
For your glory.
You are a blessing to me, each one of you, and I appreciate all of you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your intercession. Everything that you have done has warmed my heart, and I appreciate each and every one. Thank you. And share some love with each other.